Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
The Lord be with you. I don't have any particular announcements today other than we are going to be including the Verdestrasse family in the prayers of the church as Chuck passed away last Saturday or Sunday. So we begin our worship then this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We continue with the opening sentences. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord from the heavens.
Praise him through the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. King of kings, princes, and all rulers of the earth. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above the earth and the heaven. We sing our opening hymn. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? Gracious Lord, we give you thanks that you have given us faith by which we are able to witness your Easter victory. We confess that too often we have remained silent when confronted with the possibility of social shunning and unkindly remarks from our neighbors. Forgive us and strengthen us for witness. Likewise, we give thanks for the joy and the hope your resurrection provides. We confess too often our daily lives. We have let the conflict, turmoil, and immorality of the world cloud that joy with sorrow and gloom. Forgive us and strengthen us for witness. And we give thanks for the fellowship of believers we enjoy here in this place and wherever we gather around your word. We confess that we have not always demonstrated the peace and forgiveness you brought to disciples on Easter evening. Forgive us and strengthen us for witness. Almighty God has given his Son to die for you, and by raising him to life again, has declared that the payment for your sins has been accepted. He has given you his Holy Spirit that you may trust him for all things and serve him in joy. As a commissioned servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, on Easter evening, your Son sent his disciples out with the resurrection news of repentance and forgiveness of sins. Strengthen us by your Holy Spirit that we may be witnesses to his resurrection within our society and among our family and friends. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated as the first two lessons are read.
Good morning. The first reading comes from Acts 5, 27 to 42. And when they had brought the disciples, they set them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, "We strictly charged you not to teach in the name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God." So they took his advice, and when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm appointed for this Sunday is Psalm 48. We read it responsibly. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He gave a decree, and it shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy winds and fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, prince and the rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above heaven and earth. He has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his saints, for the people of Israel who are near him. Praise the Lord.
The epistle reading comes from 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that it is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. Glory be to you, O Lord. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see his marks in the hand his hands, the mark of the nails, and place my finger in the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
You may be seated as we sing the sermon hymn. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today comes from the last two chapters of the gospel lesson. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you may have life in his name. As you listened to the readings today, you probably thought, oh yes, this is the Sunday when we run down that guy Thomas. Doubting Thomas, we have always referred to him as. He was the only disciple who didn't believe. All the other disciples believed. And yet we poor 21st century Christians, we've not seen Jesus either, and of course we believe. What was the matter with Thomas? And while we think about it, what about all those other disciples? There they were behind this locked door. Did they really believe as well? They were there one more time. Aren't we better than they? We sit here in church on Sunday morning believing that Christ is our Savior. How good of us. How faithful of us. How much better are we than Thomas, that doubting guy, and for that matter, all of the rest of the disciples who doubted. But then we read the rest of the text for today. And those last two verbs, or two chapters, are almost an afterthought, it seems, because John has been going on about the events of the ascension, and now suddenly he's talking more about all of the events, all of the things that he has talked about over the last several chapters in his book. So we might want to know, why is it that John wrote his book in the first place? If you page through that book, just reading the headlines, if you will, the topics, as I see in my Bible, I see things about Jesus' teachings, I see things about his miracles, I see healings that Jesus did for people in his time on earth during his ministry. We read there too about Jesus' confrontations with the Pharisees and also with Jesus' passion, that whole story John recounts as he tells it. It is in our text that John explains the purpose of his writing of that gospel. He wants his readers to know that Jesus indeed is the Christ, the Savior, the Messiah. But these signs are written that you may believe. So, do you believe? Of course. Of course I do, you would say. I'm here in church, it's Sunday morning, and, well, you really should be here, and that's a good thing. But let me ask you this. Have you ever seen Jesus do a miracle like feeding the 5,000? Have you ever seen Jesus heal anybody or drive out a demon for that matter? But you say, well, of course I haven't seen all of those things, but I believe I'm here in church. And that's a good thing. You're to be congratulated, because typically this Sunday, the Sunday after Easter, is the poorest attended of all church Sundays. So I congratulate you for being here. So, okay, I've got it. You're here, you believe. But let's face it, aren't there times when you don't really believe? Or at least that you question? Times when you wonder and you just really need a little bit of assurance. Some of those times might include when somebody talks about the scientific validity of the theory of evolution. How do you explain those fossils that are carbon dated to billions of years old anyway? Don't you wonder sometimes if God didn't really create the earth more than just 6,000 years ago? Don't you wonder, what's wrong with this story when you have bad things happen in your life or in your family or some of your other family members? Doesn't that cast doubt in your mind, or doesn't that take away some of that confidence that you have? Do you believe then? Well, I struggle with all of those just like you do. But let me tell you what I'm confident of. I'm confident, I believe this with all my heart, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth to live a perfect life, that he died on the cross and paid for our sins, that he rose again and that he ascended and he sits on the right hand of the Father. And I believe that he will come again. And I believe that you and I and all believers will have eternal life in him. That's what John intended for his readers when he wrote that gospel, when he said our text for today, "But these are written that you may believe." When I was a kid, I remember thinking one dark night I was out looking at the stars. I've always been kind of fascinated by looking out into the universe. I was thinking about God. I was thinking about creation. I suppose I was thinking about my faith and what I believed. And I remember talking to God, saying, God, if you will just make that one star up there, if you'll make that star a little bit brighter for a little while, then I'll believe. I'll know for sure. And so I watched, and I waited, and I watched, and I waited. Star didn't get brighter. Later, I realized that if that star had gotten brighter, I would probably have said, well, what if that was just a coincidence? What if there's a logical, scientific explanation for why that star got brighter? Then where would I have been? So the question becomes, how many miracles do we need to see or read about or hear about to have us believe in God? A while back, I was asked by another congregation to be on call for pastoral care, and I got a call from the church secretary asking if I wouldn't go see one of the ladies of the congregation who was in church. I'm sorry, was in the hospital. And I don't know exactly where she was in her life. I have a sense that she was thinking maybe the end was near, although she didn't act like it and didn't sound like it. So I went to visit her, and I prayed with her, and after I finished the prayer, and I don't remember exactly what the prayer was, but she looked at me square in the eye, and she said, "But how do we know for sure?" There were certainly some doubts in her mind at that point. The only answer that I could give her comes from 2 Corinthians 5, where Paul says, "So we are always of good courage, for we walk by faith and not by sight." As Thomas found out, as we know already, it's easy to believe in something that you can see or something that you can touch. It's easy to believe in that. But Jesus doesn't scold Thomas for not believing. He doesn't scold Thomas who says, "Well, I got to touch this guy before I will believe." Rather, he uses the words that we read in the gospel lesson today. Jesus said to Thomas, "Have you believed because you have seen me?" Well, of course. He'd seen him, he'd touched him. But for those of us who can't see or touch Jesus, there are words for us as well. Jesus goes on to say, "Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet believed." That's us. That's us. Jesus is talking to and about us. We are blessed. We are happy. We are the recipients of God's love and his favor and his protection. All because that we believe, even though we have not seen him. But those are written that you might believe. We believe because we are here this morning and many Sunday mornings hearing God's word. In Paul, the letter to Romans, Paul says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God." That's how we believe, by hearing the word. And we continue to grow in that faith by hearing the good news. We continue in that faith by reading and listening and learning of the good news of the salvation of Jesus Christ. We grow in faith because we read, we study, and we hear every week and every day, I hope, God's word. We believe because John says he has written these things down that in fact we may believe. Hearing more and more of Jesus' signs and miracles wouldn't make us believe any stronger or convince us any further or convince someone else who doesn't believe that he should. So it is the Holy Spirit within us that opens our heart, that opens our ears to hear God's still small voice, to hear his guidance, to feel his presence. And so we listen and we hear and we follow and we believe. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, but these are written so that you people here at Emmanuel Lutheran Church on April 23rd, 2017, may believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and in believing, we have eternal life in his name. In the epistle lesson for today, St. Peter writes this: though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Certainly in this life, we will have our Thomas moments, times when our faith, when our belief, when our trust in God is not as strong as we would like it to be. And at those times, all of those things will waver and we will stubbornly cling to our unbelief. But it is exactly at those times that Christ promises his guiding presence. It is at those times that God comforts us with his mercy and his grace. And it is at those times that our sins are forgiven and Christ redeems us of those sins. It is then that he reassures us that we have eternal life in heaven, where we will indeed see Jesus face to face. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We receive the offering acknowledging that all we have comes from him. Please stand for the prayers of the church. Christ has risen from the dead. Death has no dominion over him, and so we pray for all the people of God in our risen Savior and for all people according to their needs. God of salvation, on the day of his resurrection, Jesus showed himself to the two Marys and the disciples, and they believed. We, like Thomas, sometimes doubt. Forgive our weakness of faith and grant us the desire to see you in person as we wait with patience for that day when you will return in glory. In the meantime, O God, remind us that Jesus said, "Blessed are those who have not seen but yet have believed." Risen Lord, in your mercy. God of creation, you know that ours is a fallen world full of heartbreak and confusion, that you thank you for hearing us cry out in our distress. Send your Holy Spirit to fill us with your peace that surpasses all understanding. Guard our hearts and minds in you. Help us to find our rest in you, knowing that you have carried a heavy load of sin and suffering for us, and that we are free and forgiven in you. Risen Lord, in your mercy. God of healing, we pray for all who, like the disciples on Easter morning, are dealing with fear, all who face this day in any emotional distress, all who endure chronic ills or sudden crisis, that the Holy Spirit would visit, relieve, and strengthen and console them. We pray especially for Paula, Dan, Sue, Dolores, Jerry, Audrey, Jocelyn, Piper, and Norm. We pray for those who cannot be with us today, Tom, Bonnie, Arlen, Jean, Fred, Denny, Karen, and Marion. Comfort each of these with the presence of the Holy Spirit and remind them of the certainty of their eternal life through faith in you. Risen Lord, in your mercy. God of comfort, we pray in empathy with the family and friends of Chuck Vordenstrasse, who passed away last Sunday. We give thanks for his earthly life of faith in you and service to your people. Comfort Pat and the entire family in their time of loss and reassure them of the hope of his and their eternal life. Lord, in your mercy. God of healing, we give thanks that you are restoring our brother Ralph, and we pray that you will sustain him in the healing that come in the coming weeks. We also lift up Dick's brother Byron, who is also suffering from a stroke. We pray your presence and healing in his life, that he too might be restored to good health. Grant patience and peace to these two men as they continue their recovery. Risen Lord, in your mercy. God who shepherds us, you have great compassion for the lost and desire all to be saved. Grant us the same compassion and desire. Use us to share your word. Through that word, convict hearts of sin in need of a Savior. Through that word, reveal yourself and your blood-bought gifts of forgiveness. Through that word, call all people to faith and a new life in you. Risen Lord, in your mercy. We pray for these things and whatsoever else we should have asked of you, so grant us by your mercy, O God. Into your hands, Heavenly Father, we commend ourselves and for all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy and praying that your will be done through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, in your risen mercy, hear our prayer. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated. Are there announcements?
I'm not going to try and walk up
here. You want the mic?
I'd just like to say thank you for your prayers and well wishes for the last 2 weeks. It's been greatly appreciated. And also, May 6th is our next call committee meeting. Everybody.
I need to remind you all that next Sunday is the last Sunday you can bring diapers for our diaper bin back there. It all benefits the Family Tree Nursery in town, which is in North Albany. And again, the diapers are The largest size that they make is what they are in need of, because those are the kids that could be more affected by child abuse than perhaps the babies. So they are in need of those. Please bring a package or two. Thanks.
I don't know if I've said this before, but this is a relief nursery. I'd never heard of a relief nursery until I worked for the Jefferson County Health Department. They have relief nurseries today where people can take their kids to get relief from their kids. It's just not part of my understanding of how the world should work. I'm sure my parents got tired of me, but they never... they sent me to grandma. And you know, maybe that's part of it. People don't live with their nuclear family anymore. You know, grandma may be in New York or someplace. The reason they need these diapers are that when these people come, a lot of times young people don't have the money to buy diapers. Can you imagine how frustrated you would get if you needed to change a baby's diapers and you don't have a clean one to put on that kid? That's why they need those diapers. So that's my spiel for this morning. Other announcements? Okay. A couple weeks ago, I asked a question. Let me put this down. We sang that song, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, and I asked the question, what's an Ebenezer? Do you remember that? Here I pick up my Ebenezer. Scott has reminded me two Sundays in a row I haven't answered that question, so I'm going to answer that question this morning. This term comes from a story that's told in 1 Samuel. We talked about this in Sunday school this morning. We don't study that book very often. It's not one of the readings that we, one of the books that we get readings from. So this is a story. Samuel was the judge at the time, and it was a time of repentance and renewal. Israel had finally realized they're heading off on the wrong track. Samuel got them back on the right track. They'd all confessed their sins. Samuel is doing a sacrifice. And while he's doing this formal sacrifice, the Philistines attack. And God causes a great thunder in the, I suppose, a lightning and thunder. It scared the Philistines, and they ran off and didn't attack the people for many, many years after that. And so Samuel made a rock, a stone memorial, if you will. And he named that rock Ebenezer. And that word, Ebenezer, means stone of help. We came, and the point is, we came this far with God, and so far he has helped us. So when you pick up that line in that song, it's a reminder that God protects us, that God has the power over everything. So that line goes, here I raise my Ebenezer, hitherto thy help I come. This far I've come with your help. And so it figuratively means that the author and everybody who subsequently sings that song acknowledges God's bountiful blessings and help in their lives. So now you know the rest of the story. If there's no other announcements, we sing our closing hymn. Thank you. Because he lives, we can go in peace and serve the Lord.